sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Let's do this. Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. I know you guys are all excited, but before I start, I need to remind you that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on November 6, 2022. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah, all right. That's out the way. To continue with, let's just jump to it, right? Number one on my agenda, I feel the need to say fuck Twitter. Twitter is sucking. Twitter is like, man, this white boy is Twitter sucking. No, you know what? Let me back up. I was just thinking about the fact how on Twitter Elon Musk came up with the idea, and I'm sure he, you know, this was a long time coming. But anyway, he's got this idea of, hey, we'll give you the blue check mark. You can get the blue check mark just like your favorite celebrity. All you got to do is pay. It was $7.99 per month. But it looks like they dropped the price to $6.49 per month, and you know, symbolically, it's kind of stupid. I mean, symbolically, because he was campaigning, he was going on the whole thing about, yo, I'm gonna make free speech, I'm bringing back free speech. $6, yeah. So that's the other thing. That's one thing. But second, apparently, there's like features in there. I'm not sure if he makes your tweet show up on other people's timeline. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not clear on the benefits just because I didn't read up on it, but I think the idea is, hey, we're just going to make you a more, we're going to elevate your status on, I guess that's the idea, elevate your status on Twitter. So you, Mr. Nobody, tweeting out hateful shit, you know, we'll give you a microphone. We'll make sure it gets heard by all the right people. And funny thing is, I was thinking about how, of my Twitter account, especially the ShutUpPodcast.com one, me and all my 9 followers, give or take the bots on there. And I was thinking about how, I guess Elon Musk is targeting losers like me who want a bigger audience. I get that. Problem is, the audience that I would go after would diss me for having for paying for a blue check mark. It's like I was gonna say, it's like paying for sex. I'd rather pay for sex than pay for that blue check mark. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm really just trying to be funny, but there's no way am I trying to disrespect sex work and any other men who partake in it. What's the politically correct way to say you're a John? Whatever, call John's out or whatever. But okay, that's not my point. I'm saying playing for that blue check mark in my social circles would be okay. Let me try to think about what I'm saying. Yes, I would enjoy the boost, just like I would enjoy. See, that's interesting. You know what? I would pay to gain an audience on this podcast. I would. But I just wouldn't, like, sell my soul for it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know? I mean, it's just got me thinking. But no, be Blizzard nor Shut Up Podcast or Shut Up Podcast. None of us will be paying for it. We're boycotting that blue check mark. Only because it's Elon Musk. But the whole thing has me thinking. Where was I? Like, I'm trying to remember how I left episode 26. Damn, I can't remember the name of my episode. Episode 26. Okay, whatever, right? But I might have been... I remember I was having a tough week. And I can't remember whether I shared that on that episode. But what I will say that things gotten better. I mean, things gotten better. It's just like, I might have talked about how I was in feeling like the kids who went to war. Yeah, I called it death and a moment of hypocrisy. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Just to say, the point is, I'm feeling better. Moving on, next topic. This week in history, I'm sure a lot went on, but the one thing I was reminded during on my Twitter timeline is this week, specifically November 4th, 1988, the movie Belly was released in theaters. And I think I talked about it a few episodes ago, but I just want to bring that up, you know, if you want to impress some chick or some your friends or whatever, but trivial information. November 4th, 1998, the movie Belly was released. Damn, I can't remember if I saw it in theaters. Yes, I'm that old. Or whether I saw it on VHS cassette, bootleg VHS. I can't remember. Oh, you know what? I likely saw it on video cassette only because I live in Ottawa, and it's very common for Ottawa to be like, yeah, we're not releasing these black movies. Fuck that. We ain't trying to get our good niggas riled up. Yeah. Part of living in Ottawa was getting used to new releases from black creators not coming to, not being available to our city. Yeah, man. The struggle is real, man. The struggle is real. All right, let me jump into this week in in therapy. I don't know why I called it this week in history, but yeah, this week in therapy, which I'm gonna rename it because I don't have anything specific to bring up except for I'm struggling with the title of this episode. Thing that's been going on my mind is I've been thinking a lot about how something that happened. I just had me thinking about how mean people suck. I really hate mean people. I hate shitty people. Like, this is, you know, pie in the sky. This is like if I rule the world kind of situation. I'd be like, look, man, life is difficult enough. Why are people determined, committed to making other people's lives even worse? Granted, I do understand that, you know, is it the word utopia? We don't live in a utopia. Shit ain't perfect. Things aren't perfect. Balance. Maybe for all the shitty people we have, we need shitty people to have good people. I don't know. I'm just trying to live in this complicated world, and I'm just trying to say that mean people suck. If you're a mean person, go fuck yourself. Now, if you're a mean person who's working on it, you know, I applaud you. But if you're one of those mean person who thinks they're a good person and are like, yeah, I agree, mean people suck, while being a mean person, yeah, go fuck yourself. That's yeah. And it's why I'm considering calling this episode, still deciding. I might go with the type, with the lyric, with a verse, We Don't Want Your Broken Parts. And that comes from a song by, come on, Ponoso, no, Kila? K-E-A-L-A. What is that Keela? Yeah, I think it's Keela. E-A makes the E sound, right? Keela. Yeah, it was. Keela Settle. And she's got a song called This Is Me, which is, for me, I consider it like a beautiful anthem. And the first four verse goes, I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Anyway, the idea is, I just saw on the list of people doing shitty things. I just saw this clip by this, according to Reddit, it's the owner of some donut shop in Eugene, Oregon. And, oh, there it is. The owner of Dizzy D's Donuts in Eugene, Oregon, dumping cold water on a homeless woman, then blaming her for it. Yeah, man. It's fucking, it's fucking, like, you know, like, I mean, it's cruel, man. It's because, so, homeless woman, and you can see her skateboard just lying there, minding her own business, just, I don't know, trying to stay warm. And this fucking asshole froze water on her. I don't know what's worse, throwing the water or recording himself throwing water. This asshole actually believed he was doing the right thing, worth recording. I'm going to upload this shit for the likes. I don't know where the fuck. Maybe, I bet that asshole got a blue check mark so he can show this to everyone. He paid $8. $8 a month, whatever the fuck, to show the world that he's a bigger ass. Anyways, and the poor woman is just like calling him a piece of shit. It's like, look, I don't have clothes to change into. I'm just trying to stay warm. And this asshole is like, it's your fault. Your fault for being homeless? I mean, people like actually believe people make the choice to be homeless? I'm like, fuck, man. I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, I think maybe my problem is I pay too much attention to the shitty people posting shit on the internet. Because the reality is, I have to remind myself that those people don't make up a majority. Sometimes it feels like they do, but it's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm struggling with that idea that these people don't make up. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe if I allow myself to start believing that people like him make up the majority of planet Earth, then I'm just going to join them. Granted, if I were to exact hatred, it would be directly on that person. And yeah, they say it's the owner of Dizzy Dean's Donuts. I Googled it thinking there'd be an article about this shit, but I couldn't find it. But then again, it was yesterday. Who knows? But if it is the owner of Dizzy D's Donuts, yeah, man, he's definitely on my list of fuck Whitey. I'm talking about you, homeboy. Fuck you. From the bottom of all. Just made me mad, man. Just made me mad. I hope people see this video and good things happen. Good thing happened to that woman, and shitty thing happens to the person who recorded himself doing it, and everyone liked him. Anyway, all right, fast forward. What else? Survival mindset. Right. Probably on the previous episode, I was thinking about calling this episode, If They Sweat Me, I'ma Open Fire. But another, and it comes from a song by Tupac called Straight Balling. But there's another line. He goes, how do you survive when 165 in the city where the skinny niggas die? Anyway, yeah. And it's the idea of survival. How my brain, it's funny, it's interesting is how I grew up in a suburb, I guess, you know, somewhat privileged. And yet in my mind is like a ghetto. It's like, it's like, I grew up in a relatively safe environment, right? And yet I constantly feel like I'm in a battlefield. I know it sounds, I know it might not make sense, but in my mind, I'm always feeling like survival of the fittest, watch your back, stay vigilant. Like, I'm always waiting for a bomb to... Man, I don't think I would have survived being in London during World War II and one. You know, when the missiles were dropping on the cities. Because I'm like, I'm living in a... I live in Ottawa. It's relatively peaceful. I mean, sure, crime rate seems to be going up. But it's relatively peaceful. I'm not in excuse me, Kuwait, Ukraine, whatever, in a war-torn location. And yet, it's like I feel like I'm in one. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's, I don't know. I guess I need to adjust my, I can't explain it. This is just me, like, spitting, like, brain farting, like, just shit that's been on my mind, how I've been analyzing my mindset. Yeah, I'm gonna drop this. Yeah, okay, you know what? This is gonna be a short This Week in Therapy, because je vois que je suis en train de radoter. I think radot in English is rambling. I'm just, like, just yapping. I don't have anything specific worthwhile to say. I'm just about this part, for this section. The last part, the last point I will bring up, and this came up on my Twitter feed from a, an account called Moral Philosophy. And I love this question. They asked, would you rather be criticized or be ignored? Sorry. Question again. Would you rather be criticized or be ignored? Somebody's tickling my throat. What I like about that question is it makes me think about me and specifically this podcast. So with this podcast, I'm on a mission to be my real self. And in doing so, I've been fighting with that question. Part of me would prefer being ignored. I don't like showing off my, I'm not comfortable with showing my real self to the public. But it's as if that those are the two choices in this life. Criticized or ignored. I mean, I guess you gotta risk the possibility of being criticized to make it. Like, I'm thinking about when I used to do comedy, and I never thought about these kind of things. But I do remember when I finally found the courage to do comedy, get on that stage, and got those laughs, I didn't care about being, well, I definitely did not want to be ignored, and I didn't want to be criticized, but I stormed through it. I don't know, I guess I'm saying I don't have that same strength doing this podcast as I had doing comedy, because in comedy, there was a way to, like, disguise my... No, I don't know. You know what? Okay, I'm going to get back on this. I need to marinate on that thought. But, yeah, because doing comedy was the closest... it was the closest I got to be my real self. But I did like doing it. I was willing to do it in exchange for laughter. In exchange for the feeling of validation. Man, my mind's going for some complicated shit, man. This is, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if you guys are getting anything out of this section of This Week in Therapy, but I'm not really feeling it. I feel like I'm just talking. I put words down, and I'm not sure what point I'm trying to make. So I'm just going to jump to random thoughts. And, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because usually when I do This Week in Therapy, I'm, like, excited about sharing some thought that I marinated a lot on. But, yeah. Okay, random thoughts. This isn't on my agenda, but I'm going to tap myself on the back this week. And I, two things, win and a loss. Win, I made chicken noodle soup this weekend. Chicken noodle soup. Well, how's that song going again? Doesn't matter. And kind of proud of myself, did that last night. Was procrastinating on doing it, but when I finally did it, yeah, it worked out. One thing, when I do chicken noodle soup, I put a shitload of chicken in that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, a black guy putting chicken. Talking about how he puts a lot of chicken in his chicken noodle soup. In terms of loss, I have a desk chair, and the cylinder portion, the part that connects the seat to the rolly thingy, the supporting part, the base, whatever. Anyways, there's a cylinder portion, the thing that allows your seat to adjust the height of your seat. Well, that motherfucking cylinder is broken. Well, not broke, but like, you'll probably get used to, like, you'll notice that your seat keeps going lower and lower and lower. And it turns out that these fucking cylinders, you need to be replaced. Like, they have an expiration date on those things. Because, like, the pressure, the thing that creates the, I'm using my hands to describe something I can't explain. There's air inside. Yeah, you know how pistons work. Yeah. And I guess it leaked out that I'm too fat. Long story short, I need to replace that shit. So what I do, I went on Amazon, found the piston, the cylinder, and bought it. And here's the part that I didn't factor in. In order for me to replace that piston, I have to remove it from the previous structure. And that motherfucker is sealed. Like I bought a mallet to break it apart. Like, on the video, they made it look so fucking easy. But that shit won't come off. So long story short, kind of sounds like I'm going to have to buy a whole new base portion. And I'm ending up paying. The price I'm paying to fix a chair is going to come out. The total is going to come out to, I was better off buying a new chair. But that's my loss for the week. It's not that bad of a loss. I guess I should look at it as, I shouldn't beat myself up. I should, you know, lessons learned. Once I get this chair thing fixed, I'm looking forward to go online and curse these motherfuckers out. But these motherfuckers, as in on Amazon. So yeah, I bought this piece, but what these assholes failed to tell you is taking your old chair apart is not that fucking easy. So I bought this piece for nothing. Yeah. I don't know if I'll put a link to the chair that I'm trying to replace. A link to the chair that I'm trying to replace in my show notes. But yeah, that's it. That's it. All right, okay. Let's get back to my agenda. Random thoughts agenda. Podcast pet peeve. Now, for those of you who don't know, I like to listen. I like to consume a lot of podcasts. Sometimes I think I should list all the podcasts I listen to, because a lot of what you're hearing is a result from all the podcasts I've been listening to. That combined with the music that I listen to, that I heard that week, this particular week, TV shows that I watch, and life, the shit that just happened to me, current events that happened to me during the day. Anyway, so yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I just realized one of my biggest pet peeves, and a lot of podcasters are going to diss me for it, but I'm speaking not as a podcaster, I'm speaking as a podcast listener. I fucking hate when podcasters spend a whole chunk of time, beginning, middle, whatever the fuck, to remind me about their Patreon section. It's like a full-on commercial. Buy a Patreon. Yeah, go to our Patreon. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, no. And I'm saying this expecting to get this. But again, I'm saying this as a listener. Fuck you and your Patreon section. I vow not to do that. I don't know. I get it. Look, complain about their Patreon is like me complaining about, is equivalent to complaining about commercials. And I know what you're going to say, you as the creator. It's like, hey, we're trying to make fucking money. Fuck you. Unless you plan on paying us for this free shit, you're going to hear me talk about my Patreon ad or whatever. Okay? I get it. I know you need to do it. But I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Fuck you if it hurts your feelings. But, but yeah, it's just annoying. It's just annoying. But I will say, there are two podcasters who are able to sell, like, so they give out their shit for free, but they have like a more subtle way to sell their the paid section. Now, I want to be clear that this doesn't apply to like History Hardcore. Well, then again, I don't remember History Hardcore going on about their paid section. they do have commercials, but whatever. However way they do it well. There are some podcasters who I like the way they do it. For example, Black Guy Who Tips. Black Guy Who Tips. I'm not sure what made me get on their premium section, but I will say in the past episode I was talking about what podcast do I think about when I think of the word generous, who give out a lot of generous content. So they put out so much shit that, you know, it's like, it's like, they put out so much shit that paying for their premium section is like your way of saying thank you. It just, it's just like they just give so much that that extra premium, doesn't break your head. Granted, I should admit that I did sign up for premium when it was a special and he kept pushing the special. That was the opportunity that I took. But I guess I'm saying that the way they went about selling their paid section made me want to volunteer. I don't know. Maybe some people need to be reminded constantly about the paid section of a podcast to finally pay for it. Maybe that, that maybe it does work, right? I'm just saying for me, yeah, that shit's fucking annoying, man. It's a turnoff for me when you're constantly talking about, yeah, man, look, we're just going to give you 3 seconds for free, but if you want the rest, but pay for it. You know, I don't know. Then again, I'm thinking about OnlyFans. Yeah, it'd be different. I look, man, it's marketing, whatever. Another podcast that I like their way they encourage, or they I would say encourage, maybe encourage, they sell their paid section is by, they have this thing where they say this podcast is dedicated to the, it's for the freeloaders because you ain't paying for shit. They have a paid section, but the way they go about it, it's kind of funny. You fucking freeloaders. Here you go. Y'all get this free shit. Y'all fucking freeloaders. Like, I it's on one end, I don't want to identify myself as a freeloader, but it's funny the way they go about it. And it's just, and also the content that they give you for free is fucking generous. You know what? I think I'm realizing what I'm trying to get at, okay? The source of my pet peeve. Maybe my problem ain't you advertising the paid section of your podcast. I think it's more how I haven't even gotten, I'm not even liking the free shit right now. I'm like, it's all right. Like, you know, I'm like, I'm not subscribing to it. I'm not committed to it. But it's, I guess it's, if I'm listening to your podcast and I'm not fully invested in your podcast or in your content, which happens, look, I don't represent, I'm just one person speaking. I don't represent all crowds, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, yeah, with podcasting is a little different. If I tell you what it is, okay? This is the analogy I'm going to use, right? Think of me as a woman, all right? And me paying for your podcast is like sex, all right? Okay, I need a little bit of foreplay here. I need to be told that I'm pretty. I need to be told I'm good looking. You better hold the fucking door open for me before I get in your car. I need to be courted before I fucking give up, open up my wallet, and pay for your paid section of your podcast. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm saying, man. My annoyance is how, fuck, man, like, buy me a drink first. What the fuck? I don't know. There's this one podcast I discovered recently, and I'm just trying to, just sheer curiosity. And first part of their podcast, I'm just bombarded about their Patreon section and just annoy the hell out of me. And we're just like, okay, I ain't trying to hear the rest of this shit. That's what I'm, I think, yeah, that's, I resolved this problem. That's what I'm trying to say. Look, if you're going to try to sell me on the paid section, first get me to love you. All right. First get me to like you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, meet my parents first. All right. Then I'll give up this pussy. I'll give up the money. All right. Okay. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this next section, but I just wrote on the agenda. I wrote it down. I hate this guy. And I'm likely going to mispronounce his name. His name is, he's in Ontario. I live in the province of Ontario. And this dude is like the Minister of Education. Is it Stephen Leachy? Hold on, let me, how do you pronounce this motherfucker's name? Is it, hold on, Minister of Education. Funny thing is, I didn't know we had a, I thought that shit was at the federal level, but that's another discussion. Minister of Education, Ontario. There's no place like home. Yeah, and his name is Minister Leachy, L-E-C-C-E. All right, Stephen Leachy, Leche. Okay, hold on, let me go. How to pronounce... Fucking English people. Oh, Leche. It is Leche. Practice. Allow permission. What do you mean allow permission? Just play the fuck.
Leche.
Leche. All right. Stephen Leche. Yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. All this to say fuck that guy. All right. Now, here's what's going on. Of course, I'm going to glance on the fact. This motherfucker is like, what was that other minister of education who worked under Bush, that woman there who thought she was a civil rights member? You know what? I'm not going to get into this. But long story short, this asshole is, reason I don't like this guy is he's putting our teachers in a situation, well, him and Ford, in a situation where they have to go on strike. Here's the thing. I'm not even clear on the details. But I already know he's the bad guy because of the tactic that he's using. He's on this campaign of, look, we just want to put our kids in school, and these fucking teachers are trying to go on strike, and we just came out of a pandemic, and kids have been out of school already, and we're just trying to get them back in school. And here's the thing. He's trying to constantly, one, he's trying to vilify teachers. You lost me right there. Vilifying teachers like vilifying someone who works in the medical profession. How you gonna, basically, you vilify a teacher. What makes you an asshole is everyone knows teachers don't make a lot of money. Now, you making fun of teachers, trying to turn them into villain will never work for me. Two, I think homie's doing a shitty job. Maybe he's good at being a minister, whatever the fuck, but he's doing a shitty job from my perspective. Running a publicly funded school. And I think that's what the intention is. I think he's trying to run this shit to the ground. He doesn't give a fuck about properly running a publicly funding school because he's trying to get people to like, hey, trying to privatize education. He's trying to get people to say, yo, send your kids to private school because public school shit doesn't work. Well, the truth is, he's a reason why public school doesn't work. Another thing, too, is one thing I don't like about it because he's insulting my intelligence. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say about him. Is how he's trying to sell me on the idea that these teachers are being selfish or being greedy and basically trying to sell me on the idea that these teachers got into profession of teaching to make money. Asshole. When we all know that only politicians do that shit. So him constantly try to show teachers as the bad guys, like, oh, they want to go on strike. If they're going on strike, it's because current condition are shitty. No one wants to go on fucking strike. Anyway, this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of I hate mean people. Yeah, and I think, who is this dude working for, man? Is he, right now it looks like, it looks like I don't know if there's like a consortium of private school and they say, yeah, we need you to shut down public education so we can fill up our seats with, I don't know what's going on. I'm acting like I know what's going on in the background, but I'm just saying, homie insults me, man. It's insulting. The but is there are people who are eating up that shit. There are people who voted for that asshole to be an asshole. Maybe my beef should be with them, but yeah. For now, I hate this guy, man. Fuck Steve Leachy, man. Fuck him as a staff. Record label, that's a motherfucking crew. When I think of Whitey, I'm thinking of Stephen Leachy. You know, I was going to tweet this. Is it possible he might be the worst minister of education? Now, I say this without having done the research. I'm saying this wondering, like, it's possible that every conservative minister of education has pulled has done the same shit. And which in this case tells me that, yeah, you're doing a shitty job trying to run a publicly funded educational system. And yeah, I'm curious, is he like the worst at this shit? Or is he following from the same book of the people before him? And by before him, I mean people who had his agenda. All right, moving on, B. Speaking of education, I'm going to say this one is under the heading of a reason why white people deserve to have White History Month. And when I say White History Month, I'm not talking about the regular education, the regular history that we're currently learning in school. I'm talking about the part of history that makes white people go, oh, yeah, we did that shit. Or I'm going to play a commercial that's being on air. It's an attack ad. It's in the States. And, in the state of Georgia. And I'm just going to play it and then share my thoughts afterwards. 30 seconds. Here we go. Oh, hold on. Let me unmute this shit. Let me go. Here we go. Boom.
When did racism against white people become okay? Joe Biden put white people last in line for COVID relief funds. Kamala Harris said disaster aid should go to non-white citizens first. Liberal politicians block access to medicine based on skin color. Progressive corporations, airlines, universities, all openly discriminate against white Americans. Racism is always wrong. The left's anti-white bigotry must stop. We are all entitled to equal treatment under law. America First Legal paid for this ad. When did racism...
Yeah. I'm like, yo, I could go long on this one, right? Because I was thinking about all the white people I thought were friends, I considered friends at the time, and who bought into that notion. It's like, yo, the real racism is against us. I don't know why you niggers are angry. Of course, they don't use the word nigger, but, you know, they were just as well. You know what? I'm just going to conclude with this one line and say, dear white people, study your history. This is not the first time a white person has used the fear of or has used the concept of white people are the real oppressed people. If not all of them, atrocities committed by white men always started with shit like this. Like, this commercial makes me nervous. My back is against the wall when white people start talking like that. Like, hey, the real victim of racism is us. Like, when they start saying shit like that, yeah, man. Crosses are getting burned on your lawn. All right. Anyway, yeah, man. I want to say, dear white people, don't fall for the okie doke. But whatever. I think some of y'all are addicted to this shit and love being reminded that or being told that, yo, y'all got it back. Kamala Harris, these black people, these people of color are coming for your daughters. Whatever. All right. Okay. Skipping over. I was debating on sharing this story, but because I keep talking about how I'm Rouge et Bleu, this next item, it's called UN Considers Sanction Targeting Gang Leader Barbecue. That's correct. You know what? I'm not going to read the whole... is there a clip? He should protest after gang violence. Here, let me play this clip, see if we're getting the information. Here we go.
Haiti is sliding deeper into chaos. Protesters have taken to the streets after dozens of people were killed in a week of gang violence. Insecurity and unrest, adding to a spiraling economy that has never completely recovered from a devastating earthquake in 2010.
Our situation is critical because we are facing misery and hunger. Our children can no longer go to school. The government is useless. We demand its departure. It has to go.
Protesters blame the government for the fuel crisis.
Every time they want to raise fuel prices, they claim there's a shortage. It's not true. There is stock. There's no need to cause people such pain. If they are determined to increase prices, we will set the country on fire.
You know what? I'm skipping that. Okay, I don't think... The real part I'm trying to get at is this character, this gang leader, his name is... his alias is Barbecue. Yeah, that's right. BBQ. Don't ask me why. No one knows. I don't know how he got that name. You know what? Barbecue, in English, it sounds weird, but if you say it in Creole, barbecue, yo, my nigga barbecue, yo, no, ça c'est mon patnet. Or, man, it sounds cooler. Anyway, long story short is the only reason I bring up this story is because someone messaged me, a friend of mine messaged me, and was trying to get, hey, do you know about this barbecue guy? Long story, apparently he's, what did they say? The United Nations Security Council is considering creating a sanction regiment to impose an asset freeze, travel ban, and arms embargo on anyone who threatens the peace, security, stability of Haiti, according to a draft resolution reported by several news agencies. The first person to be sanctioned would be Jimmy Cherizier, who goes by the nickname Barbecue, and is described by the United States and Mexico, drafted resolution as one of Haiti's most influential gang leaders. Okay, here's the thing, right? This is the first time for me that a gang leader makes it on Joe Biden's desk. The name of a gang leader, from what I know, this is the first time I hear a news report where a gang leader makes it that, I say Joe Biden, but the government is like, yeah, we're gonna have to jump in because of this motherfucker. Like this is gonna be like Saddam Hussein. Yeah, he's fucking with our money, so he's got to get dealt with. The person who introduced the story to me presented the story as, this motherfucker's a badass. And I took it that way. Then I made the mistake. I was joking with my cousin, you know, who's more versed in or more who familiarized. Like, she pays more attention to what's going on in Haiti more than I do. And, you know, oblivious that she pays attention to this shit. And I joked about how, yeah, that's the kind of guy I want to be. Yeah, she didn't like that joke. I mean, no, she knows who I am. But basically, just let me know that, yo, this guy is a piece of shit. Fuck him. Fuck his mom. Fuck his whatever. Yeah, don't. He's not a good person. All this to say, it just put me in a situation where I'm like, okay, there's a lot of misinformation going out about this guy, and I think it's going to come down to it's the kind of misinformation that's being put out there about this person is shit that people want to hear. So the first version that I was told about this guy is this motherfucker's like a Robin Hood. But the second version I got is, nah, this dude is, maybe he's a Robin Hood, but he's, no, the Robin Hood image is him. Think of a shitty person using, yeah, I'm the Jesus Christ. You know, think of a cult leader who's a cult leader presenting themselves as, oh, I'm the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. You know, whatever. Anyways, the only reason this got to me is because it had me thinking about, and I want to be clear, I am not comparing. Okay, it had me thinking about how Toussaint Louverture's, if I was a white person living back in those times, how the story of Toussaint Louverture or Jean-Jacques Dessalines would have been presented to me. They would have, you know, they would have presented him as a terrorist, but not as a freedom fighter. History gets to decide. Now, I want to be clear. I am not saying this barbecue guy is Toussaint Louverture or Jean-Jacques Dessalines. I am not saying all that shit. The only thing that I'm saying is he's on their fucking radar. He's on Americans' radar, America's radar. And one thing I know about America, about the United States, they don't do favors. They don't go in there going, oh, man, this guy's a bad guy. We are going to use our strength to stop that, to stop him from doing what he's doing. Nah, it's never that. I'm just saying the fact that he's got their attention, for me, is worth investigating. I don't know, it sounds like I'm trying to like say, yeah, he's a good guy, he might be a freedom fighter and shit like that. No, I'm just saying, I don't know what to think about this story, bottom line. Yeah, I really don't know what to think. I feel like there's more than meets the eye. It's gonna be interesting how this story's se déroule. I'm gonna back up and say, you know, it's really rare for me to pay attention to what's going on in Haiti, because I've gotten so used to only hearing bad news that I'm flooded with it, that I'm just like, yo, shit is just fucking depressing. So usually I just like fade it out. And the only reason why I'm paying attention to this story, it's kind of like the story of Wyclef. When Wyclef was accused of stealing from Haiti. Yeah, I'm just curious. What did this dude do to get on the leader of the G7's radar? That's really what I'm trying to get at. And it's going to be interesting. I think these people might make them out to be the story of the freedom fighter versus a is he a terrorist or is he a freedom fighter? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay, if it comes out that he's a freedom fighter, I'm not denying, like, because based on what my cousin says, she's like, yeah, this motherfucker's a terrorist. And because of his tactics, yeah, it's like I'm trying to say, we live in a world that even freedom fighters do shitty things. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, Adams. I'm not trying to give this guy props or like that. I'm just saying, who is this guy? Who is this guy? That's really what I'm asking. Who is this guy? And what do I need to know about him? Not that I plan on, you know, going on doing my own investigative journalism, but I'm just interested on how this story ends. Damn. You know, I probably said a lot of, I'm probably saying some problematic shit at the moment. And it's one of those things I should have navigated. I should have, because it's a complicated thought that I'm trying to express. It's acknowledging that this asshole is when, okay, is this asshole self-driven? Is this asshole doing it for himself, for his own glory, for his own narcissism? Or is he really doing, or is he looking out for the country? Is he like, yeah. As best as, man, that's how, anyway, yeah. It's not like the movies. Real life is not at all like the movies where you could watch a movie and be like, yeah, that's the hero, that's the bad guy. Yeah. All right. Okay. I think I've probably kind of wish I thought this through more often. Again, this is one of those stories I'm going to have to let it marinate some more. Yeah. There we go. All right. Next on the list. Over the weekend, this week, I'm not sure if it was this week or this past week, but Drake released an album with another rapper called Savage 21, 21 Savage, is that what his name is? Whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever, okay. So, and I don't know, something about Drake, I tend to pay attention. I like his music. But here's the thing is, well, not all his music, but I like, Drake makes the kind of rhyme, Drake is on my list of rappers when LL Cool J says, checking out the rapper and the rhyme that he says, yeah. I look forward to hear rhymes by him and to hear his cleverness. But with that said, sounds like Drake is going on my list of people who I can't say out loud, refuse to say out loud that I check out his shit. But homie is doing some fucked up shit and he's going on the list of black people, black men talking shit about black women. He's got a verse where it's not clear. It's gonna be interesting. Well, no, actually, it sounds like homie is dissing Megan Thee Stallion for getting shot by that fuckboy Tory Lanez. Yeah, who's apparently from Toronto too. Well, one of those outskirts. I don't know, Mississauga, one of those fucking places. Whatever. And anyways, the verse goes. This bitch lie about getting shots, but she a stallion, and what's the other line? Something about how she can't take a joke. I'm not sure. Whatever. She smiled, but she's not like whatever. But the point is, it's either she, based on this article, it's either he's making reference to the fact that he's either saying that hey, she's getting butt shots. Like her body is all made up, it's all whatever. Or he's making fun of her for getting shot in the field. You know what? I'm just gonna play this clip that I found on Twitter because this woman just explains it better than I can. And goes. Because I just put it down as, yo, Drake, stop fucking pissing out black women, man. Here we go. And the author's name is, oh my God, Tally Berry Baby. Chocolate Lisa, City Council President. All right, okay. I just followed her on Twitter.
Watching Drake devolve into like this weird, messy, misogynistic bitch is just so fucking disheartening. I've always said that like Drake has this quality about him where he acts like he doesn't know that he is handsome and wealthy and talented. You are handsome and wealthy and talented. Your only job in life is to not be a fucking cunt. Yeah. And you cannot manage that? Oh my God, why would you say that about that girl getting shot? Why would you say that about that girl getting shot, Aubrey? It doesn't make any fucking sense. Your pen game is too strong. Even if you're like, oh, it was a double entendre, that was the best you could do. You could have kept that in the drafts. As a writer, I got some shit that I will probably never say out loud because it was dumb. Mm-hmm. You said some dumb shit. And also, not for nothing, your white mama and white baby mama having ass need to shut the fuck up about black women. You barely qualify, and something about it feels white supremacy-ish to me. I don't fucking like it. You always fixing them big BBL lips to say something about black women. Shut the fuck up, son. Write about something else. Diddy slapped you in the motherfucking mouth. Mm. Diddy hit you in your mouth, in your lips, on your face. I ain't hear you talking nothing about him. You ain't did nothing to him. You ain't said nothing to him, but you got that forehead nestled right up under Tory Lanez's nutsack because was Megan supposed to give you some pussy and she didn't? Is that what this is? I bet it is. Because you only do this to women that have like fucking scorned you and spurned you. Megan was supposed to give you some pussy, wasn't it? Oh, you little fucking goober. You dweeb ass bitch. Ew.
There we go. She summarized for it, right? It's because you heard at the beginning, I said, yo, every time Drake releases something, I look forward to hear his rhymes. But I don't need the problem. I mean, you got to do the problem. Like, look, here, Drake. Am I your intended audience? Yes or no? Because I look forward to hearing the rhyme, but if part of a package deal is, yo, you're gonna have to also tolerate with me doing some problematic shit or disrespect people that you have respect for, or basically, like, I'm from the days of, yo, you do not, you know, you honor black women on tracks. Okay, you know what? I'm talking about the golden age when conscious rap was a big thing, and that was my section. But if Drake keeps going down this alley, I'm gonna have to do him like Jesus. Do him like Jesus, like Peter did Jesus. I've never heard of this nigga. Yeah, I'm not the. Let me just say this: he's not the guy I'm defending in the barbershop. All right, okay, moving along. Okay, this one I labeled as. And I'm going to try to, wow, man, this is going to be a long, okay. Two more things. So this one is, I labeled it as Kyrie Irving and my last trip to the barbershop. Now, the way I worded that, I'm saying it's like Kyrie Irving is the reason why I'm never going to the barbershop. No, I'm saying the last time I was at the barbershop, his name came up. Now, for those who don't know me, I'm not a big basketball fan. I don't really follow sports like that or maybe around playoffs or shit like that. But I'm not really the drama that's going on. But in my timeline, Kyrie Irving has been popping up. I know he says a lot of problems. Like, he's an anti-vaxxer, so fuck him. And but now, apparently, this motherfucker is on this anti-Semitism shit. Now, the reason I bring up his name is because I remember going to the barbershop, and I love going to the barbershop, you know, talk about the revolution, about how black people, we need to stand up as a people. But what ended up happening is, barbershop, because of this motherfucker, I can't remember how we got into this topic, but we ended up having an uncomfortable discussion on anti-Semitism. And it was pretty much, hey, he did that. How is that considered anti-Semitic? I'm like, I don't know if y'all can tell, but I don't think I can be. I'm the proper representative for that discussion. Anyways, it was, for me, it felt uncomfortable. What? And see, look, it's like, is it possible for us as a people to fight racism without being anti-Semitic? Like, I get it. I'm sure there's a white person out there who's dropping the N-word, denying bank applications, or running a roach motel. What do you call that? What do you call those things? Slumlord, who's a slumlord, or ripping off artists. Okay, I'm sure there's a white person who just happens to be of the Judaism faith, who just happens to be Jewish. I'm sure he's like that. But, you know, when we say fuck Whitey, can we just, like, just put him in that fuck Whitey pod? Do we really need to get into all I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, apparently Kyrie Irving was, like, showing this video that denies the Holocaust. I'm like, fuck, dude, what the fuck? Anyways, in the link to Kyrie Irving in my last trip to the barbershop, I linked an article written by Jemele Hill, and she goes, what does Kyrie Irving see in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories? And I think she makes the point, or one point that I see is like, yo, black. I mean, we can fight this. We don't need that. The anti-Semitism in there. I don't know how to. When I was in that barbershop, I didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, fellas, woo. Well, here's the thing. Say, you know, we're kind of getting close to being anti-Semitic. This is starting to sound like some anti-Semitic shit. But the problem is, a lot of them were on this, that's not anti-Semitic. But the one part of the conversation that I could respect is how, I would communicate it differently, is how, for me, I would say, black people, we can learn a lot from Jewish people when it comes to getting out of this fucking hole called oppression. I'm just saying, it just had me thinking about how I feel like as a black person, we were lied to about the concept of power. You know, I think of how, granted, you know what? This is like the Haiti conversation. I'm about to say some, I'm gonna jump because it's one. Let me put it this way. I need to write down my thoughts because if I am going to get attacked or if I have to defend something, I want to defend what I said, not what I, because I know right now I'm just going to sound ignorant. I'm just going to say a lot of things. It's like there's a lot of nuance I'm going to skip on or whatever, but I'm just going to leave this whole Kyrie Irving with, yo, fuck you for fucking up my last barbershop visit and him and Kanye. And look, man, we're fighting Whitey right now. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, Whitey doesn't have part of that Whitey club. Some of those people are Jewish. Yeah, I get that. But, you know, I ain't fighting them and dissing their faith in it. I mean, you know, can we separate the person from the religion? It was very uncomfortable. It was a very uncomfortable conversation. But, you know, I say it was an uncomfortable conversation, period. It would have been interesting. If someone of Jewish faith came in and said, you know, was able to react, because it would have been a great to have that their input. Yeah. And it was very uncomfortable. Fuck that nigga. Fuck Kyrie Irving. All right. Where am I? You know what? I'm realizing, okay, I think this is going to be my lessons learned from this podcast. I tend to put in topics in there where the idea that I'm trying to explain is complicated and I'm not doing any favor by just breezing through it. You know what? Here's the thing. It's like when I was in that barbershop and we were having these conversations about that I felt was like uncomfortably, it sounded like, you know, in the anti-Semitism world, I feel like everyone in that shop was also trying to communicate a complicated thought. And it's so easy for me to dismiss it as, oh, I think these guys were being anti-Semitic. I don't think their intention was to be anti-Semitic. It was just, they're trying to explain a point. But the way it's being made, it just sounds like you're saying, hey, it kind of sounds like you're saying you're down with Kyrie Irving. And that's, I think that's what I appreciate about Jemele Hill's article, is she took the time to process these thoughts and put it down on paper. Like, I wish I had her ability. Okay, yeah, I think that's the lesson learned on that. You know, it's like, Don't breeze through complicated thoughts. You know, I want to bring them up, but I just don't know how to do it in a way that would inspire a discussion, that will create insight, that will create an insight. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Last topic. Finally, fuck, this agenda was heavy. All right, 59 minutes. All right, let's go. I mean, 59 minutes in, but I'm going to, 59 minutes without the intro track. Last thing I put down is what I love about House of the Dragon. And this was inspired after listening to, let me check my phone to remember what's the name of the episode that I listened, the podcast that I listened to. It's called, not For All Nerds, it's called Castle Black. There we go. Castle Black, and where is it? Okay, let me turn this off. Okay, yeah, it's called Castle Black, and it's one of the hosts is called DJ Ben Amin. Where is this shit? Oh, my God. Okay, sorry, it is part of the For All Nerds. Okay, it's on the For All Nerds podcast network, or the stream, and in there, there's one called Castle Black, House of the Dragon. Yes. Okay. House of the Dragon. Okay, this is not an episode number. Just look Castle Black. That's all you need to know. Anyways, he had my Rod and Karen on this episode and some other guests that I got to be. And they just had a huge discussion, insightful discussion about, they shared their thoughts about the season, the whole season, first season of House of the Dragon. It just had me thinking about, one, it made me realize that, yeah, I'm getting away from looking at this show as good guy versus bad guys. And more, this is more like a game show. Watching this show, except this, yeah, I'm watching this show like a game show. And the game is the throne. The prize is the throne. It's a game about, you have all these participants and their quest is power. And the thing is, being a nice guy, that's the way you lose. That's the way you lose that shit. No, you got to do grimy shit. You got to do whatnot. It's basically, I'm looking at, you know what it is? I'm looking at every character in that show the same way I'm trying to look at this barbecue guy. The way I was trying to discuss this barbecue guy in the Haitian the article about UN considers Haitians Haiti sanctions targeting gang leader barbecue. Yeah. I don't look at him as a good guy or bad guy. I just look at him as a player in a game. And I think that's what makes this storytelling amazing, because it's just changed the way I watch television. Another thing I like about the show is how all these stories are written from the perspective of a historian. What's interesting? I mean, and so they can be loose on the details, and we're not really sure what ended up happening. It's funny how they can play with this shit, how this actually happened or didn't happen. But it's from the tale of a historian, kind of like a Bible story. So it fascinates me. And last is something they did differently in this show. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but it's like I said how I feel like they're trying to teach men about patriarchy. But one thing that I think it's fascinating, and that was mentioned on the Castle Black episode, is how someone mentioned, they said that maternity, giving birth, is a character on the show. And it's interesting is how, see, in Game of Thrones, we were used to, like, the torture scene, violence scene, and it's as if, I think they cut down on it, but the one thing they wanted you to show, it, like, suffering is women suffering while giving birth. There's an article written on it. It's like, yeah, no. We spared no, like, we wanted you. You're supposed to see those scenes and be like, oh, that's fucked up. Cause there's a more to this story. We're not doing this for the torture porn. This is not torture porn. No, we're making a point about how the sure, men die on the battlefield, but women are dying on while giving birth. And the like that character, maternity, is a violent character unto itself. I don't know. It's just introducing concepts that I find things that, look, man, we become good friends if you can make me laugh and get me to think about things differently. And that's what is being accomplished in House of the Dragon. Now, what sucks is we got to wait like a whole ass year for the second season. I guess I'm going to have to read the book. But anyways, I'm fascinated. If you haven't gotten into House of the Dragon, I recommend it. And for those of you, if you don't like the show, don't watch it. I don't want to, apparently people are feeling oppressed or feeling like they're being pushed to watch a show, but I'm just speaking for myself, how much I'm enjoying House of the Dragon. And I hope you do too. All right. Funny. I'm selling House of the Dragon the same way someone is selling, their Patreon ad. That's kind of funny, eh? When you think about it. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. But, we don't do that on Shut Up Podcast only because we don't have a paid section yet. Yet. I will have one. I'm just saying, yeah. Yeah. We don't have one yet. All right. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me on Twitter until Elon Musk drives it to the ground at a B Blizzak. you can holler at me with the name B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on their website or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Oops. Hold on a second. I said, be kind. I'm trying to. Thank you for listening. Be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.